We did that when we started with the Psalm 23. We kind of did an overall the truths of it, and then we broke it down phrase by phrase. And so we've made it to the last phrase. So Psalm 23, verse 6, and the last phrase right there after that colon, it says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And so this was a statement made by David, and he was like, look, no matter what, and we're going to go through some what's here in just a second. And if we think about it, humanly speaking, it might be okay to not go to church. It might be okay to stop, things like that. But spiritually speaking, and we're going to see, David went through a lot of stuff here, some self-imposed, but he still stayed in church. And that's what we have to do, and that's what we should do, I guess. And so to make that commitment to the Lord, say, Lord, you know, there is no perfect church, there's no perfect pastor, and you don't have to say amen too loud right there, and there's no perfect parishioners and things like that, and that's in my notes here in a minute. And so if we're looking for a reason not to, the devil's going to make sure we find it. And so if we're looking like, you know, if I could just find a reason, I'd stop going to church, or I'd stop serving God. If that's our mindset, the devil is going to make sure that we can find some reason. And so, and David had obviously a lot of reasons too, not to go. But once he made all these statements, he was like, and because of that, any Sunday, you know, again, I'm putting in our vernacular, in our day and time, any Sunday, you know where I'm going to be. Unless I'm dead, unless I'm so sick that I can't even stand up and I'm scared to make other people sick. All right. And of course, we have in the Bible where it says, unless my ox is in the ditch. All right. Those are the three okays not to go to church. Dead, so sick, or my ox is in the ditch. I have to take care of this. Other than that, David was saying, this body right here, this person right here is going to be in church. And so introduction, we see, if we go back up, we won't take time to read the whole 23rd Psalm again, but I just wrote them down. And so he was like, okay, why did I make that statement? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay? And again, people throw that word out there a lot. You know, a lot of people say, I love you and it's going to be forever. You know, 2 weeks in, I hate you. And, you know, there's, okay, it's just, you know, I didn't really mean that. And so David, he wasn't throwing that word around lightly. He was like, look, I'm going to go to church forever. And he said, why? So if we went back up to the top and he would say this, because the Lord's my shepherd. That's why I'm going to go to church forever. The Lord maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's why I'm going to go to church forever. He led me beside still waters. That's why I'm going to go to church forever. He restored my soul when I blew it, when I made huge mistakes. He restored my soul. That's why I'm going to go to church forever. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. So when I'm there at church, He gives me instruction and it helps me live righteously. That's why I'm going to go to church forever. I was in the valley of the shadow of death, but God was with me. And He brought me through it. That's why I'm going to go to church forever. He comforts me with that rod and that staff. When I needed a rod, whop! When I needed a staff, here, come on, this is okay. All right? That's why I'm going to go to church forever. He prepared a table in the presence of my enemies. All right? That's why I'm going to go to church forever. And there was those wounds that I had, those hurts that I had, He anointed my head with oil. That's why I'm going to go to church forever. And He has let goodness and mercy follow me my whole life. That's why I'm going to go to church forever. And so again, you can see that's when he in the culmination of Psalm 23, he was like, look, mark it down. And a lot of people, you know, they make statements like that. Maybe like, you know, maybe you say that in front of your family, or you say that in front of your friend, or you say that to God. What you're doing, you're boxing yourself in. All right, so he's like, God, everybody else, I'm just letting y'all know, I'm going to go to church forever. And so then when we're not, somebody could say, I thought you said, oh, I know. All right, you're supposed to box yourself in and make those commitments. This, you know, like Joshua, you know, you just choose what you want to. If it seemed evil to do that, but as for me, he was boxing himself in. David was boxing himself in. say, I'm going to do this. And so we won't take time to turn over there, but Psalm 27:4, he made a similar statement here. In Psalm 23:6, the last statement, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 27:4, it says here, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after. In other words, he was desiring it from the Lord, but what he was saying was, with God's help, I'm going to do this. So one thing I desired from the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And so we see that David, because of all the things that God did for him in Psalm 23 and in other times, he's like, because of that, I'm going to go to church forever. It's kind of like that song, Count Your Blessings. Okay? We could do the same thing. David just listed a bunch of them here in 23, what he did for him. And so because of that, I'm going to go to the church forever. So if I look at it, all right, I was born into a Christian home. That's a blessing. I was raised. We had a little rough start there at the beginning of my life. But from 10 years old that way, I was raised in church. That's a blessing. He saved me when I was 10. That's a blessing. He knocked me upside the head when I was a hard-headed teenager at 17 and got me right. That's a blessing. He sent me to Bible college where I could meet the love of my life and get married. That's a blessing. We had two great young men. All right. That's a blessing. And now they've gotten married and we got two daughters, and that's a blessing. And we got seven little knotheads, and that's a blessing. And I mean, I could just keep on going. All right. And, God's let me serve Him for this many years, and I've been here now for this many years, and it's just good thing. Now, I could add some bad stuff in there, but why? Right? Because God's delivered me from that and brought me through all that. And so that's what, when you come to that point in your life, you can say, look, because God did all this for me, I just feel like I owe it to Him to go to church. I just want to go praise God at church. And all the other things that I've learned to get to this point in my life, I learned at church. And so I want to go back and learn some more. And that's what David is saying. So David had learned a lot when he was a little boy. It's in the Bible. He was keeping those sheep, and he wrote some songs, and he would sing to the Lord while he was out there. And it's kind of like, I remember when I was a little boy, I wanted to sing loud. And it wasn't that I wanted to sing. I just didn't want to hear anything that was out there that might get me. Right? So that may have been why he was singing, because obviously there was lions and bears. He come across them. All right. And so if he could sing loud enough, maybe he didn't hear them sneaking up on him. But he learned that God would protect him when he was a little boy. And, so he was singing, he was praying. And then it says he killed that lion, the bear, and the giant. All those things God helped him through. And so that's what David was saying. I mean, I was in the valley of the shadow of death with that bear and that lion and that giant. God brought me through that, so I'm just going to go to church forever. Then there was those battles that he won, and he actually became famous in his day and time. And they wrote songs about how Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. And so he's like, hey, God used me. God helped me win those things. And, so I'm just going to go to church for the rest of my life. And then, obviously, Saul got mad at him and started trying to kill him. And so David was hiding in caves, and he was going through this, bunches, woods and things like that, hiding from Saul. And Saul did not kill David. God delivered David. So he said, I think I'll just go to church forever. And then we know the time where he was supposed to be at war, but he stopped fighting for a little bit. And if we're going to make it through life, we're just going to have to keep fighting the devil. We can't stop fighting the devil. We stop fighting the devil, that's when we goof. And so he was supposed to be fighting, but he was at home and saw Bathsheba bathing on the rooftop, and obviously committed adultery with her. And then he had her husband sent to the front lines for, pretty much sure that he would be killed. And so he sinned greatly. And so he thinks, I could stop going to church. But we don't find that in the Bible. We find him praying on his bed, crying on his bed, doing everything he'd do to get back to where he was so he could go to church. So he didn't stop going to church. Didn't stop having that relationship. Then we see that he had some kids. And if you read again, I'm paraphrasing this and just flying through it. But one of his sons rapes his own sister. Another son tries to kill him, take over the kingdom. I mean, just stuff happening, horrible stuff. And David could have said, okay, I get it that I went to church when I was singing songs and I was killing lions and bears and giants and I was winning and I was this. And then I could have kept, stopped going to church when I messed up royally. And then I could have just stopped going to church when my kids started going absolutely bonkers. But he didn't. He kept going to church. So we see here he didn't let victory or failure get him out of church. I've seen both. I've seen people get into church because they, you know, they couldn't make ends meet. I need God's help. And they get into church and God starts blessing them and they start making money. And they start making money. And then they start buying toys and they start doing this. And success got them right out of church. And then I've seen them where God's blessed them like crazy and then a mistake like adultery, a mistake like kids doing crazy things. Get them right out of church. The devil don't care. He don't care if it's a victory that gets you out of church. He don't care if it's a failure that gets you out of church. He just wants to get you out of church. And so that's why David said, look, nothing is going to get me out of church. Victory or failure. Then we see fear and confidence. You know, I've seen people get out of church. You know, yeah, I got saved, but I just can't do that Christian life thing. I'll blow it. I can't. And they're scared that they can't, so they stop. And the devil, obviously, if they say that, I'm scared that I won't be able to do what the Bible says. I'm scared I won't be able to do what the pastor thinks I should do. I'm scared that I can't keep my friend thinking I'm a good Christian. So throw up the towel. And if they're nervous, the devil is going to magnify that. Oh, yeah, you can't. There's no way. You're just a bum. You can't do that Christian life thing. Yeah, you're right. So failure. Fear. And then same thing here. Confidence. I got saved. I've got the Bible mastered. I've got it memorized. I don't need church. Me and God, we can just have a good old time out there by ourselves. All right. Confidence even got people out of church. So we see that the devil, he'll magnify anything. Victory or failure, fear, confidence. He'll do anything that he can. And so we're going to look at a little outline here. On, you know, if you're looking for a reason to not go to church, the devil's going to let you see one. And I'll give you a couple points here. Number one, all right, why didn't he let the wrong doing of others keep him out of church? Again, so if you're looking for something to get you out of church, you can find the wrongdoings of others. How many times have we heard it? I'd go to church if it wasn't for all the hypocrites. Because if you're looking for one, you're going to find one. You're going to find it. And some of these will be a little touchy. I've experienced some of these. And again, sad that, I mean, you can find a reason to quit church if you're looking for it. I've been a member of, let's see, 5 different churches. And I've seen some of these and all of them. So, but again, I didn't say I will go to church because there's a perfect church, because there's not. I will go to church as long as everything goes smoothly. It's not going to go smoothly. I'll go to church as long as from the pastor down is doing right. I'll go to church. If that's the reason you're going to church, you're going to stop. Because you'll be able to find a hypocrite. You'll be able to find a person that's doing wrong. I promise you. What we got to do is go back to David. He restored my soul. He prepared this. He was cut for me this. Because of God, that's why I'm going to go forever. That's why I'm going to dwell in the house. So that's where we got to look. And if you'll look at him, you'll stay in the church. Okay, but if you're looking right here, you'll probably get out. If you're looking right here, you'll probably get out. If you're looking out there, you'll probably get out. But if we'll look right here, God, I mean, you're so good to me, but this is a tough situation. I mean, I can't imagine one of my sons raping my daughter. And a lot of people, they want to blame God for that. God, why'd you let that happen? I didn't. All right? I created everybody with a free will and choice. They get to do what they want to do. I didn't make. So we can't blame God. And so why do we get out? Because of others. Here's one. The wrongdoing of the pastor. The wrongdoing of the pastor. That's why I covet your prayers. I'm no better than any other pastor has ever pastored. All right? The Bible, you know, the Bible has that principle in there. But for the grace of God, I would, and you could just fill in the blank. Okay? But I've had this happen. Pastors that I've had, here's one. They're all L's. Lazy. Lazy. You know, I try my best to not be a lazy pastor. Okay? Because according to this book, it's my job to study this book. It's my job to be a soul winner. It's my job to pray like we just prayed. You know, again, it's my job to serve the church. That's why I went and prayed for people today for that having surgeries and things like that. I don't want to be a lazy pastor. But I've seen lazy pastors. I mean, they don't pray for their parishioners. They don't study like they should. I mean, you have so many meetings and the pastor's not even there. I would think he would be the one saying, hey, come on, let's go soul winning. All right? So, lazy pastors. Here's one, lack of control pastors. I'm flesh just like you. And, I mean, even since I've been here, I've had people come up to me and blah, 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 blah. And my flesh wanted to blah, 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 blah back. God help me. I need to be have the right kind of spirit. I need to respond how you want me to respond. Right? Because the Bible says if a person can't control their spirit, they're like a city with broken down walls. The devil can come in and out when he wants to. So we have to control our spirit. So lack of control of our spirit. Here's one. I've seen pastors and people could get out of church because of sexual misconduct. I've had a pastor that got caught doing that. Well, I'll never go to church again. Well, if that's what you're looking for, sad to say, you can find it. Prideful manipulation. You see all this. Lack of control. Here's one. We've had laziness. We had lack of control. How about, I was looking for an L word here. How about the loot? All right. Again, you can find them. There's pastors that have embezzled, taken stuff. Pretty much, embezzlement's a big old word for a thief, right? Okay, you can find it. And again, that's what the devil would say. You've been in this church for this many years, and now look, here's the pastor. He stole all this. So you just need to quit church. That's what the devil wants. But again, I hope you're not in church for me. And I hope I, with God's help, never do any of this stuff. All right? But the reason I went to church was not for a perfect pastor. It was because God saved me. And God told me to go. And God speaks to me. All right? That's why you go to church. And so that's what David's like, look, all this stuff happened. And it would have been horrible if God hadn't led me, and if God hadn't helped me, and if God hadn't prepared, and God hadn't restored. So that's why I'm going to go to church forever. Not because there's a perfect pastor. How about leading in the wrong direction? Doctrinally. I promise you. All right? I will say this. If I ever come in here and say we're going away from this, fire me. Okay? If I ever come in here and say, bless God, we're not going to soul win anymore, because God created some for heaven and some for hell, fire me. Okay? That's what I'm saying. And that's happened in churches before. They brought in creeping in unaware, as the Bible calls it. Sneaking in falsehood. But if that happens, again, I'm sorry. I pray that I never do it. But if it happens, don't stop going to church because I'm a loser. That's what David's saying. Say, look, I mean, leading in the wrong direction. Calvinism. If I come in here next week, and we're like, when lights and smoke go over, we're like, ah, fire me. All right? We're supposed to sing hymns and spiritual songs, the Bible says. All right? Not rock concert. All right? If I come in here next week, this is going to be a bad visual for you. If I come in here in a Speedo next week,
and say, open your Bible.
Fire me. All right? Once you cover your head. Okay? I mean, that's what I'm saying. But people, if you're looking for a pastor when he goofs, and they will, and they have for centuries, that's why please pray for me. All right? Pray that God helps me not. Ever. But that's what we've seen here. A lot of people get out of church because of the wrongdoing of a pastor. But you go to church because God, not a pastor. Next. Because we're wrong parishioners. Wrong parishioners. Okay? Again, I just preached about myself. Threw myself under the bus and, you know, saying I'm not above any of that. But with God's help, I will never do any of that. But parishioners. Again, hypocrites, you're going to find them. But again, you don't go to church because of other people's relationship with God or other people's activity or other people's anything. You go to church because of God. If you want to find somebody, there's some gossips. They're just... All right, I guess today it's this. All right, but they know the skinny on everybody. And again, everybody's got luggage, baggage, whatever you want to call it. But we don't have to share it. So in discord, the Bible says. Lying. Clicks. If you go to some churches, I mean, they look at you like you've got the plague. I just came to church. You're not a part of us. You can find cliques. Popularity contest. Not friendly. You can find a reason not to go to church if you want to. But David's like, look, I'm just going to go to church. Wrongdoing of a pastor, wrongdoing of parishioners, wrongdoing of the powers that be. In other words, pastor, deacons, Sunday school teachers, you know, whoever's in charge of nursery, or whoever's in charge of this, I have a position. All right? If you're doing it just because of the position, you're losing your reward. That is going to be your reward. So, you can find Sunday school teachers that are just doing it because that's that title they want. They don't really love people. They don't really love God. They don't not really studying to help people. Deacons can be that way. Junior church workers can be that way. Youth directors can be that way. Anybody can be that way. And so pray for them that the devil doesn't get in their life. Because there's no perfect church, no perfect pastors, no perfect people. But God is perfect and He says, go to church. And I'll give you a couple verses. Hebrews 10:25. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 10:25. God says, don't forsake going to church. Well, that pastor, don't find another one if you have to, but don't stop going to church. Well, those people, again, find another one if you have to, but don't stop going to church. The powers that be, it's all a clique over there. Okay? Go find another one if you have to, but don't stop going to church. Here's 1 Corinthians 16:2. God said in Hebrews, don't you forsake going to church. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, Sunday, all right, let every one of you, every one of you accept that you've been offended by a pastor. Every one of you accept you've been offended by a parishioner. Every one of you accept that you've been offended by the powers that be. No. On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. In other words, we're supposed to bring that tithe to the storehouse on Sunday. Week in and week out, week in and week out. And it says there, so that when I get there, there's no gatherings. Because the Bible indicates if we didn't tithe, God takes it when He gets here. So, another one, Luke 4:16. And God's not a do as I say God, not as I do. Luke 4:16. And He, talking about Jesus, came to Nazareth where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. Talking about the Bible. So Jesus, He was obviously an example to us. So we ought to make this a promise to God. No matter what happens, I'm going to church for the rest of my life. That's what David said at the end of Psalm 23. We've got to go quickly. We're almost done. So after David, had gotten right with the Lord after his great desire with Bathsheba. Now his greatest desire, obviously, was to be that man after God's own heart again. And if you study his life, after he got all that running from Saul and got his kids all... Blah, 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 and he said, okay, I'm right with God again. I'm going to do this. What I want to do now is I want to build the temple. All right, I want to build the temple. And of course, and God told him, I'll let you gather the materials, but I'm not going to let you build it. Okay, there's other places in here where Moses, God told him to speak to the rock, but he smote it. And God said, okay, everybody else is going to get to go into the promised land except you. You're not going to get to go in. You let them here, but you're not going to get to go in. I don't know if that's compared, but David had sinned with Bathsheba. And so he said, all right, I'll let you get all the materials together, but I'm not going to let you build it. I'm going to let your son Solomon build it. And so God told him that he could gather all the materials. This is found in 1 Chronicles 28:6. And so he did. He gathered all the materials. He wanted to build that temple. And it says here he had that personal relationship. It says here, your church may change, but God will never. I told you a while ago, I've been a member now of 5 different churches. Okay, 2 in Georgia, 2 in Florida, and 1 in Kentucky. And that's it. So my churches had changed. Okay, but my God hadn't. Some of those churches that I was a member of, the pastor blew it with misconduct, with stealing money, right? Changing standards and so forth. They just changed. But my God didn't change. So my church changed. All right, how about this? This is tough. Your family may change, but God won't. Some people have had people that went to church with them, but then they don't go to church now. And so, well, that's my family. I got to quit church too. David had those kids that did wicked, but he kept his relationship with God. Your pastor may change, but God won't. Your friends may change, but God won't. God will never change. I'll give you a couple of verses on that. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. This is why David could say at the end of Psalm 23, I'm just going to go to church forever. All that other stuff can just be what it is. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. So what David is saying, look, I'm just going to go to church. I'm going to dwell there. And of course, that's found right there. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then that other one, other verse, I was thinking it was Psalm 27. I will dwell there all the days of my life. So dwell. Dwell. God is more important than a building. He's more important than a position. He's more important than a class. He's more important than a friend. And He's even more important than our family. The Bible says He's got to be first. Colossians 1:18, that He might have preeminence in all things. First place. We're not worthy to be His disciple if we won't give up father, mother, brother, sister, anything to follow Him. So that's what David's like, look, I'm just going to dwell with God. So dwell means rest. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So God can give you that rest that you need. Again, not this building, not the pastor, not the other parishioners, not the powers that be, but God can give you that rest. So that's who you dwell with. Dwell also means that He's family. He talked about in there where it says if you're going to be His disciple and you do give up some family, He's going to multiply that sevenfold and beyond. And so God can be that. And Proverbs 18:24 says this, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And so we have to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dwell also means secure, safe. And the Bible talks about the church of God, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So there's nothing like being dwelling in God's in His presence and letting Him be our family and be secure there. So it says here, God and our relationship should trump everything else. Psalm 27:5, listen to this verse. For in the time of trouble, okay, you're going to have it. The Bible talks about that the life of man, I'm paraphrasing here, the life of man, there's going to be many things, many obstacles, many things that's going to bring you trouble. So, for in the time of trouble, He, God, shall hide me in His pavilion, in a secret of His tabernacle, shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon the rock. And so again, we see here that God, the relationship we have with God and in His house is more important. So David ran from Saul for 13 years, but he still had his relationship with God. David had, he was ran out of Jerusalem by his own son trying to take over the kingdom, but he still had his relationship with God. He sinned in a mighty way with Bathsheba, but he got that relationship back with God. So he never lost that dwelling place of his God. So David had passion to build that house. And again, if you study it in the Bible, all right, the tabernacle was that temporary, that tent, if you would, that they had to set up, take down, set up, take down, set up, take down. And I've been there, literally. We've had church in a tent that we had to set up, take down, set up, take down, set up, take down. Get it? And so he was all about this temple. He was like, look, we no more setting up and taking down. No more driving them stakes. No more pulling them ropes. No more. Let's build a temple. So he was all about it. And Numbers 7:89 says this, and when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, he heard a voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat that was upon the ark of the testimony from between the two cherubims, and he spoke unto him. So again, that presence of God, that relationship that we have with God, Moses had it. And he went into that tabernacle, and there was the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of Testimony, and the cherubims was up there, and God spoke from the between them. Moses heard him. And David said, hey, that's what we got to get back. We've got this tabernacle that we're going up and down, up and down. What we got to do? We got to get the Ark of the Covenant back. And so you can find in 1 Samuel 5 where he's like, where's it at? And they said, hey, the Philistines have it. And the Philistines, obviously, they had stole the Ark of the Covenant. And you can find in 1 Samuel 5, they put it in there where all the other false gods were. And they talk about Dagon. They're coming in there and Dagon's flat of his face and they stand him back up. They come back and he's flat again. They come back. His head's broken off. Why? Because the Ark of the Covenant. And so, obviously, God's presence in the Ark of the Covenant and these false gods, they weren't getting along. And the Philistines are the ones that took it. And so, just like, you know, in the, you know, Moses and the children of Israel, let my people go. No, here's some flies. Let my people go. Here's some cattle with some disease. And let my people go. Here's some locusts. And I mean, God just boom, boom, boom. And he finally said, get. Right, same thing here. The Philistines had taken the Ark of the Covenant. All the false gods were falling down on their face. But then God struck them. And you can find this in also 1 Samuel 5. And they had an uncomfortable disease come on them. And you can find it in 1 Samuel 5. He gave them hemorrhoids. And so not only were their false gods falling and breaking apart, they had an uncomfortable situation, and they finally said, come get it out of here, take it. All right, so David did. Of course, you know the story in 1 Chronicles 13. They went over there and they said, look, let's just bypass, you know, the staves and the Levites. Let's just get a new cart and put it on there, and we'll just haul it home, and it'll be a whole lot easier. And it started tipping, and Uzzah reached up there to settle it, boom, and he's dead. And so David said, whoop, time out. We got to do this thing right. And so the second attempt was found in 1 Chronicles 15, where they carried it with the staves and the Levites carried it. Then the ones at home had a continual sacrifice going while they were carrying it. The choir was singing as they came back into Jerusalem, and the trumpets played announcing the arrival. So in other words, David's like, look, the presence of God is the most important thing. And so if God's present, and we're going to see here in just a minute, ever leaves this place, let's all leave. Let's go find God's presence. All right, but I feel His presence here. When we sing, I feel it. When we're talking about Him, I feel it. I feel like His presence is here. And that's what David said, look, that's what we got to have. And so David said, we got to get the presence of the Lord. Now, Matthew 18:20 says, where two or three are gathered, He is in the midst. So we don't have the Ark of the Covenant anymore. Obviously, God doesn't speak that way anymore. He speaks through the Holy Spirit and through His Word. But when two or three Christians are gathered, we are saved, and He's inside of us, the Bible says, hey, I'm here. That's how we...
Our spirit bears witness.
So God's presence is the most important thing. 1 Samuel 4:21. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory of the Lord is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken." So again, the most important thing in this church is not the pastor, not the parishioners, not the power to be, but keeping the peace, the presence of God. That's what you got to look for. And you can tell, I've been in churches before, like, ooh, I got to get out of him. Because, right? Again, they might have been doing the and it's all about the positions and the powers to be and things like that. And God's like, Ichabod, buddy, I'm out of here. Psalm 134:1, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand and have of the Lord. David had a position, David had a passion, and his passion was to live in the presence of the Lord, have that intimacy, that relationship with David. So that's what he's saying here at the end of Psalm 23. The reason I'm telling you is because of the presence of the Lord. So David wanted to be in God's presence at all times. David wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David wanted to consistently and constantly worship the Lord from his heart. So, most of us go through life, or not most of us, but most of people out there. I mean, he was a man after God's own heart. He wanted that presence more than anything. But you ask people out there, hey, what do you want more than anything? Money. Hey, what you want more than anything? Bigger house. Hey, what you want more than anything? The newest electronical device. I mean, seriously. There's people out there, they want that more than life. There's a new iPhone come out. Or there's this that's got this much memory and this much strength. I want to be successful. In other words, I want position. I want prestige. More than anything. I want more friends. I got to have it. That's what the devil puts in here. And what we have to have is, I want God's presence more than I want anything. And that's what David said. Look, all that can just happen. I'm okay with all of it. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So David took it from I want to I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So Psalm 23, what does it do? It cultivates a faithfulness in our attitude of walking with God every day. Secondly, it wants us to apply the principles of Psalm 23. And lastly, what this truth will do for us, it's kind of like an acorn. If you leave it alone and let God bless it, what will it become? A humongous oak tree. I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And things can happen, but I'm not going to be moved. That's what he was saying. Yeah, I blew it, but I'm still in church. My kids, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, a couple of them, but I'm still in church. My friends, I'm still in church. That pastor, I'm still in church. That second, I'm going to look at that person on the fourth row on the left side. All right, I mean, they're the biggest gossip. Nope, I'm still in church. If you're looking for a reason to get out of church, you can find it. But God ought to be a reason to stay in church forever, all the days of your life. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, we thank you for, obviously, the Bible and obviously David putting this in here. And we've seen over these last several months several things that he went through, but you were right there with him, preparing and restoring and guiding and correcting and blessing. And he said, because of all that, God's real. And I'm just letting everybody know, no matter what happens, you're going to find me in church. In Jesus' name, amen.